Hier ist Nick. Nick does some network engineering and in his work and also in his free time, I guess. At least he does some stuff that's interesting and wants to tell us on how to become your own ISP with all the BGP, AS numbers, prefixes and stuff you probably know about or not, but are going to learn about. Nick.
Okay, thank you. Cool. Welcome, everyone. Good to see such a huge turnout. I didn't expect that. So, thank you all for being here. So let's get the boring stuff out of the way first. My name is Nick Bauhuis. I am a NOC engineer by day at SpeakUp. So I do phone stuff, network stuff, infrastructure stuff, etc. I also do some entrepreneuring that happened accidentally. Someone asked me for help, and then someone else started asking me for help, and then it became a business. I'm also a member, a board member of the NL NOG. I'm going to tell you about that later. And I'm also a member of the Cola Clue Association, which is a cool club of nerds into networking. And I have another title that was given to me by Cogent. I'm going to tell you all who Cogent is in a second, but I really like the title. This was an actual email sent to me by a salesperson of Cogent. Internet God and Network Supreme Ruler. So this is an email I got, and then in the subject, it actually says, I still cannot believe it, but anyway. How does the internet work? Because we all use it every day, and maybe you've heard this phrase before, but I'm going to talk about how the packets get from A to B. So it's basically just a bunch of networks, right? Everyone has a network. You have a network at home, but these are different networks. So let's go through an example. We have, in this example, Rick. And Rick is a customer of KPN, which is an evil, evil ISP here in the Netherlands. Rest in peace, Access for All. So Rick wants to watch a YouTube video, and he typed youtube.com on his computer. And let's forget about the DNS stuff for a second. KPN makes sure his computer can connect to Google, and then Google knows where the video is that Rick wants to watch. So underneath, like we're talking like Google and KPN, but underneath these are AS numbers. We use AS numbers to describe networks on the internet, and AS stands for Autonomous System. So the path looks like this. We get AS1136, which is KPN. AS1136 knows how to reach Google, which is AS15169. Nice. And then there, somewhere within that network, there is a YouTube video, probably this one. If you wanted to map the internet on like on a picture, it would be very messy. It looks something like this. So a better way to understand what's happening is to use a tool like Traceroute or, in my case, MTR. This is an example of a Traceroute from my laptop here at the event, thanks to Event Infra, to, what is it actually? It's y2025.org. And you can see that that it's very close. There is almost no networks in between. It's just, this is Event Infra, AS, what is it, 64404. Then there is a IXP in the middle. And then there's the website. I'm going to explain what an IXP is in a minute, don't worry. So this is a server in the Netherlands, it's very close to us. What if we do a traceroute to something in like Australia? Well, it looks a bit different, and we need some other entities that you may have seen if you've dumped traceroutes before. You see like 1299 and FUSIX and some other stuff. So all these networks are connected to each other for some reason. But how do they do that? Well, it's very simple. They use cables. It looks like this. Most people use fiber optics, but it can be anything. And There are basically two ways to connect your network to the rest of the internet to become sovereign on the internet. One of them is peering, which basically means directly connecting to each other. Say you have a rack at a data center with your favorite cat pictures or something that you want to host, and then you want to connect to your neighbor who is an ISP. He has eyeballs, as we call them, people that want to access stuff on the internet. Then you could just put a cable between your two routers and then exchange traffic. But if you had to get a cable between everyone in the data center, that would get quite messy, right? So there's these platforms you may have heard of, AmCX and FreeCX. FreeCX is my favorite, by the way. The guy that runs it is on the event. Or he may have already left, I don't know. But these guys, what they do is they put up a switch, and it's just a basic switch like you put up at home. A little bit different, but same principle. And you can exchange traffic through that, so that's just one cable to connect to many networks. But there's a small problem, right? You cannot connect to every network. There's just a select list of networks that are on these internet exchanges. And that's why there are different internet exchanges as well. Some have maybe other networks that you want to connect with than other IXPs. So you have to compare and make a choice what IXP you want to join. Some charge a monthly fee, some don't. Some offer 100 or 400 gig ports, some offer 10 gig or 1 gig ports. So there's a choice to be made there. But that only connects you to a small list of networks. So you cannot reach Australia unless you fix the cable yourself. So you need another party. And that's where transits come in. And these are examples of guys that run transit services. One of them is Cogent. This is not their official logo. I put the clown's nose there because I think they're clowns. And these guys basically are internet providers for internet providers. They offer you a large pipe where you can pull all your traffic through, and they'll make sure it reaches the other end, either through agreements with other transit providers, or through their own peering, or some other way. So the downside of it is that IXPs are mostly cheap because you don't charge per megabit. These guys do. And how much they charge is depending on your volume and et cetera, their terms. I'll explain why I think Cogent are clowns. Their sales tactics are controversial, and they don't know the meaning of the word no. And they lie. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I talked about how KPN connected to Google, but you need to configure something on those routers, right? So how do they actually know how to reach each other's networks? There's a protocol for that called BGP, which you may or may not have heard of in the news, because if something goes wrong with BGP at, for example, Facebook, then the world breaks down or something. And BGP basically works like this. And I chose Freedom for this example because I think they're a lot better than KPN. It basically starts with the router of Freedom saying, yo, what up? I am this ASN number and I have this prefix. If you have traffic for me, please send it my way. And what a prefix is just a set of IP addresses, right? So this is a slash 22, which means, to say this right, 1,024 addresses. So they sent that to Google, and then the direction changes, and Google says, hey, if you have spicy DNS traffic for me, please send it my way. So this may seem insecure to you, because what is preventing some other party saying they're Google, or saying they're your bank, or whatever? That is a real problem, and it has happened in the past, where accidentally or not, someone announced IP space that isn't theirs, and that means that stuff breaks or attacks get executed. and we don't want that. So we have a thing called RPKI, where we can actually sign the prefix with the ASN number. So if a prefix comes from a different ASN number, the traffic should be dropped. But not every ISP has implemented this. You can check that on isbgpsafeyet.com, which is a service operated by Cloudflare, by the way, an American company. There are other ways. And on NetLabs has a testing page, I believe. Check if your ISP implements RPKI, because you want to be safe on the internet. It's very easy to do this as a owner of IP space. You just click a button. But for an ISP, it's a little bit harder to implement, because their router has to perform validations. Still, I invite everyone to implement this. And if you want to do this project like I did, please also implement RPKI. It's a fun challenge. So now I want to tell you about this cool tool. It's called bgp.tools. It's a website. You can just pull it up on your phone. It looks like this. And then it starts with, on the left side, you are connecting from, which is a very easy and helpful way to find out which ASN you're connecting from, or what your IP address is, or who your DNS server is. And if you click this ASN number, you can get some more information about the network you are connected to. For example, here on the left, you see the upstreams, which are the transit providers I talked about. So these are the ISPs from that event infra has connections to. And then on the tab here, you can connect which IXPs they're connected to. So if you wanted to connect to event infra, maybe because you wanted to use a lot of bandwidth, which you should, because we have more than enough, then connect to one of these IXPs, get a huge port, and then blast traffic. Maybe for next time. They also have a very helpful looking glass, so you can look up an IP or an IP range and see how different networks around the world connect to that IP and what ISPs are in the middle. So now we got the basics out of the way. How do you actually start one of these networks? It's very easy. You just need a router, some internet resources, and some place to connect your yellow cable to. So if I say router and I talk in the term of ISPs, you're probably thinking something like this, right? This is a very nice space heater. Don't buy it. Instead, you could use something like maybe this. They can be very cheap. In theory, you could also use a Raspberry Pi. It's probably fast enough. It can just be any computer. You can also get some purpose-built device. It doesn't really matter, as long as it talks BGP and isn't too weak. It basically needs enough memory to load all prefixes in the world in its memory table and make calculations when something changes, which it regularly does. So then you need some internet resources, some numbers, right? So you need an autonomous system number and some IP addresses, which will be your own, which is cool. So ASN is pretty easy to get. IPv6, also, there's enough. IPv4, on the other hand, is a big problem, as we may or may not already know. So I looked up yesterday what the prices were of IPv4. This is prefixbroker.net, where you can buy IPv4 space. So if you wanted a /24, you pay like almost 8,000 euros. And this is before tax. So if you wanted IPv6, that would be very cheap, right? But there's a big problem. Most ISPs, or I should say a lot of ISPs, don't yet support it, especially in the Netherlands, where we're bad about it. There's one ISP called Odido that still hasn't implemented IPv6, and they're like one of the last big ones. So going to tangent here for a second, I made a website, heeftodido.nl, It looked like this. And then each of the words of their slogan had come also linked to a ISP in the Netherlands that does have IPv6. And then I thought that's not enough, so the sentence is there again, and I did it for every letter. For every letter in their slogan, there is an ISP in the Netherlands that has implemented IPv6. They didn't like it. They sent me an angry letter from a lawyer demanding that I take it down and that I never do it again, and that I paid them 750 euros. So if anyone from Odido is watching, a better way to do this would probably be to just call me or send me a letter first and say, I don't like this, instead of lawyers, please. Oh well, I wanted to share this tangent with you, and if you want to read more about it, there's a blog post. Yeah, go. So these numbers, right? How can you get them? There's these organizations called Regional Internet Registries, or RIRs. And they're divided across the world. This is a nice little map. For Europe and Russia and the Middle East, there is RIPE-NCC. For North America, there's ERIN, LACNIC, AFRINIC, APNIC. You can see the slides. So we here, we use RIPE. So you go to their website, look around a bit, and then you find this page. And then you're like, that's quite a lot of money for a hobby. For a business, maybe not, but for a hobby, it's quite steep. And I think the pricing is going to change next year as well, and it's not for the better. So there's another way you can obtain these resources. You can become, for example, a member of Coloclue. You can send a nice email to one of the boards. I think it's the Network Commission, and then they arrange that with RIPE for you for a lot less money. We're talking, I think, 50 or 60 euros a year, which is a lot better. So, say you do that, or you become a member of RIPE. You have these numbers. You have your router. What's next? You got to connect somewhere. And the best way to do that is to get to a data center, because that's where all the other networks are, right? So this is just a sample map of networks in the Netherlands. But you probably want to check where the networks are that you want to connect to. There's a cool little website for it called PeeringDB, where you can look up basically any network from any company and see what data centers they are in. I should have updated the screenshot. This is for my own network. I call it bgp.radio. It says Nikkev, which is in Amsterdam, but recently I also have connected a router in Enschede. This is a very helpful website, and yeah, please use it and keep it up to date for your own network if you decide to go that route. Once you have that network, what do you use it for? Well, I can tell you that you're the boss of your own network. You're becoming sovereign on the internet, so... But I can tell you what I'm doing with it and how my network looks like and what I did. This is basically the entire network. So it's a Dell PowerEdge R630 with some disks in it, and then two of these little MikroTik switches, which fit in one U, which is very cool. And they connect to several different entities. For example, SpeedIX, FreeSIX, FuseIX, AMCIX, and NetOne. I want to give a shout out to AMCIX. They recently started the Bright Networks Club, especially for people that are running private networks like me, like personal networks. Normally, AMCIX charges a fee because they're that large and have a huge infrastructure. But for personal ASNs, you can get a free 1 gig port, which is very cool. FreeSIX, by the way, is totally free for anyone still, so connect while you can. And then there's NetOne, which provides me with free transit services for a while. Sometimes I push a lot of traffic through its network, so I'm thankful for every one of these on the screen, but especially those ones. So the software that's running on there is very simple. It's just Debian for the operating system. It's the BERT routing daemon for the routing. That's the software you install to make your Linux machine a router. And then there's libvirt, which I use for virtualization. And then what do I do with it? I run some mirrors on it for open source software. So for example, Arch Linux, Tor, MariaDB, Manjaro, etc. So if you want a fast connection for your Arch laptop, then you should maybe use my mirror or not. But it's definitely being used. I can notice in my graphs when Arch Linux did a release. Now, if you will, please everyone join me for a ceremonial sip of water for your internet god and network supreme ruler. Thank you. Stay hydrated. So, another thing I did was run a Tor exit node, which you may or may not have heard a lot about. Quickly about Tor. Tor is an anonymization network, which routes your traffic through three or more other nodes. And then at the end of the chain of these three nodes that are used for anonymization is a so-called exit node. And this exit node provides access to the wider internet. So you can probably imagine letting random people access, use your connection is an opening for abuse, right? And it definitely is. But this time, I was going to see what was actually being done, because I'm running the network, right? What happened most that the abuse inbox got spammed with emails from one so-called Ben Sodos. And he said, I am the rights holder. You downloaded my movie. Please stop. And then also some nice info about what was downloaded. Don't know why. I got 161 of these, and I only ran it for 2 months. But there was other stuff being done as well, like port scans and brute forcing. And yeah. It's a fun experiment. Would I recommend it? Probably not. There are other people that can do it better. So let's talk about the elephant in the room, which is costs. It's all pretty expensive, right? So. When I bought it, my server, it was like $1,100. Euros. nowadays it's cheaper. Some ASN, some IP space. I lease IPv4 space because providers like Odido exist. And that is by far the most expensive part of my network. And then, of course, I'm a member of Coloclue, which also costs some money. And there's power for your equipment. And you also need some rack space. So why would you do all this, right? Especially if you already work in networking like I do. Well, first reason doesn't really apply to me, but you can learn BGP by actually doing it, by actually connecting to other real networks. And people in the community are very eager to help you get started as well. You can also make up the rules, like, who gets the most traffic? Am I going to give transit one node traffic, or transit two, or am I going to use an IXP? Am I going to exclude separate some IP spaces from my network entirely from networks that I don't like? You name it. You can also help communities by providing bandwidth, like by providing mirrors for software, or by running a Tor relay, which is different from a Tor exit node, by the way. Tor relay operation doesn't give you any abuse on your network, at least you don't see it. And if you wanted to become an actual network specialist at some job, then it helps that you have some experience. I'd say it puts you ahead of the rest. So when I'm talking about becoming your own ISP, you're all probably thinking about how I'm going to get this connection to your house. That's hard, it turns out, because you cannot just break open your street and lay a cable for yourself. So you have a few options. You can do a tunnel of your existing connection to the data center. It helps if you can peer with your ISP. Maybe if you are a customer of Freedom, you can email the NOC there and say, I want to peer, and then arrange peering there. You could ask a company for your own fiber connection to the data center. That's probably going to be out of your budget. Or you could get a contract with, for example, Evil KPN to get layer 2 connectivity to the data center via their network. Also not recommended. Use GRE tunnels or WireGuard tunnels or anything. It's much cheaper. So, some resources for you. I promise you I'll talk about Stichting NL-NOG, which does, NL-NOG stands for the Netherlands Network Operations Group. And they host three events every year and have a very active IRC channel and a Discord community where people talk about networking and other technical stuffs. So if you're interested, please do join. Also, Coloclue, which is a great great bunch of people. They can provide you with some rack space. And you can also connect to an IXP via one of their data centers. So that might be a good option for you. Talk to me or other members of Coloclue that are walking around here if you want to learn more. You can check my website on how I did stuff. I write about how I upgraded from BERT 1 to BERT 2 or how I added the second switch. And you can get in contact with me there. And if you want to practice first before you do the real thing, there's applications like GNS3 and Container Lab, which help you set up a network on your laptop with like VMs and virtual routers and stuff, which might also be very helpful. If you live close to Enschede, come to Tucker Lab. There are a bunch of people that can also help you with Rackspace, Transit, or IX as well. This is an example of GNS3. You can basically just drag routers and switches and other equipment to the screen and double-click them to get a terminal, configure them. And it's a great tool. It needs quite a heavy laptop because every one of these nodes you see is a VM. There's also Container Lab, which is similar but uses containers underneath. And there's a huge repository of separate labs that are available for download, so you can jump into a specific setup and play with it. Lastly, if you're really interested in this stuff, you can come to NL-NOG Day, which is on the 30th of September. Please get tickets. They're free, but we welcome donations. NLNOG.net/tickets, or check out NLNOG.net if you want to learn more about the Network Operators Group. So I hope I've inspired you all to become an internet god and network supreme ruler yourself. And thank you very much for coming to my talk.
So thank you for the talk and being really early, which leaves more time for questions. Any questions? Did you all already set up your own ISP and don't have any questions anymore?
That's okay too.
There's a question. Could you, or maybe I'll try to.
Just a noob question. So let's say I do this, then I set up a WireGuard tunnel from my KPN at home to my BGP node.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what difference would I see in practical bandwidth?
In practical?
Bandwidth to, for example, download games or, you know, are there any consumer things that would go mm-hmm. even faster than with your normal ISP?
It depends on how your own ISP does peering and transit, right? So if you are, for example, Telekom Deutschland, which really dislikes peering, it can become a benefit if your own network is close to Telekom and your own network is also close to other networks that you want to access. Then you could see a huge increase in bandwidth because the transit lines of Telecom are full because they want to charge everyone for peering with them because they're arrogant, basically. So that might be a huge huge jump in bandwidth, and you have control over how you reach that network, right? So you can make maybe arrangements with them, maybe do a PNI, private network interconnect, which is do the cable yourself, pair with an IXP, or some other means. But you have control, so you get to decide how fast the connection between your network and the other network is.
In theory, there's network neutrality, right? So if you are a KPN customer, they're not supposed to inspect your packets and limit your bandwidth.
Yeah.
Have you ever done some research on this, whether it is actually adhered to?
If they would do the packet inspection, I wouldn't know, obviously. But that is, DPI is a good reason to encrypt all your traffic, and this is why we switch from HTTP to HTTPS and do IMAP S and use all these encrypted protocols, is that all these nodes that are in the middle cannot snoop on my traffic, because you never know if one of these networks is doing something like that. That's why I prefer GRE tunnels over WireGuard, because they are not encrypted, causes less overhead, and make sure you don't lose any bandwidth. So if you use a WireGuard, there's an encryption overhead on both sides.
Yeah.
While you're routing over the internet anyway, so doesn't really need to be encrypted.
Thanks.
Of course.
Is this thing on? Okay, great. So if you have everything set up, great talk, by the way. What are the consequences if you push a malicious PPT route out there?
What will probably happen is that your transit provider or your peers are going to de-peer with you or block you. The direct consequence would be that everyone on the internet will start sending BGP traffic to you, which if you do this for a large network, then this is very problematic. But yeah, people can unplug, basically, like disconnect from your network, and that will be the best way to directly handle it and decrease impact for everyone.
Thank you.
More questions?
I saw in your router you have like a lot of fiber connections to the different internet exchanges. Do you have really the also physical connections to those ISPs, and what was your experience if you have them in getting dark fiber to it or something?
I connected to them in NICAF, which is where they are physically present. So I put a cable between my switch and their switch, basically. In NICAF, you can do that yourself if you adhere to some rules. Most data centers don't let you do that, by the way. You just plug the cable in to both sides. They configure something, I configure something, and then it magically works. There are IXPs that you can connect to via dark fiber, but it's better if you want to connect to a certain IXP that it is already in the data center that you are also present at. Because if you want to do dark fiber, it becomes more expensive.
Okay, thanks.
So, more questions? No, okay, then thank you very much. Another round of applause.